song was written by our dear Lucille Olson. I remember her telling me that she never thought that song would amount to much because it was so short. It just goes to show how little we really know, doesn't it? I'd like to talk to you about the power of prayer and how I use it in my life today. I see myself as a very fortunate person, living a fulfilling and joy-filled life. The life I live is a projection of my thinking into the tapestry of our shared lives. Let me qualify for you where I'm coming from with this message today. Our first spiritual principle states that the essence of our being is spirit. Therefore, we are one with our Creator. If I believe that this is true, then when I call upon God, I'm calling on the indwelling spirit that dwells within us all. It's from this shared experience that I would like to talk to you about the power of prayer. What I'm going to share with you today is not only the reality of my life, but much of this reality that is shared in all of our lives. Our second guiding principle states that we recognize a supreme spiritual presence, a divine oneness called by many names. I personally call this oneness God. However, it is called by many names by many people. Our third guiding principle states that our thoughts, beliefs, and feelings create our experience of the world. I've chosen two examples of the power of prayer to focus my talk on today. From the Emmett Fox story, The Fourth Man, which is based on a reference to a story regarding three young men being cast into a fiery furnace by King Nebuchadnezzar for refusing to worship the idols of the kingdom. Fox says, "We demonstrate over small things, a cut or a broken bone, but when we're faced with a life-threatening situation, such as a fiery furnace, we do not think that God can save us." Please note that the limitation is not on God's part, but on our part. Whenever anyone finds themselves in a fiery furnace, they hold to the truth against insurmountable odds, and you will see the fourth man. This is the spiritual self, this fourth man. It is the fiery furnace, as a rule, which brings out the God within us. If as soon as you're thrown into the fiery furnace, you turn to God with the full weight of your being, then the fourth man will appear, your true self, the God in you. My second example is from my own life experience. In 2001, when I reached out to God with a simple prayer, "Help me," I had no idea at the time that it would be that this simple prayer would begin my journey back from PTSD and addiction. Because just like the young men that were thrown into the fiery furnace, it was made with the full weight of my being, and the fourth man appeared. I was raised in an abusive and loveless home, and I've experienced very stressful experiences in combat as well. I had no reason to believe that there was a loving God that was available for me to call upon for deliverance. And yet, when I reached out in total surrender and with the willingness to accept whatever I found in the void, the fourth man was there. It seems that I learned best from my pain, because while pain is not required to call upon God with the full weight of my being, that is when I'm most willing to do so. I believe that just like muscle memory, where practice is required to learn a movement to allow it to become an automatic response, we as aspiring spiritual beings are required to make this calling on God with the full weight of our being as a regular part of our spiritual practice. Fox tells us that our part in scientific prayer is not to think of the problem, but to think of God. Another great teacher, a dark-skinned Middle Eastern guy, tells us in John 14:12, "I tell you the truth, anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done, and even greater works." In Mark 11:14, he goes on to say, "When you pray, believe that you receive, and you shall receive." And so it is. Thank you.